politics and football. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, sir, put on my big boy pants. You put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour two. Dirt and Sprague here on 1080 The Fan. The Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2 and YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. Good morning. The Fan text line's 503-864-6326. It's where you can reach us. Also, the YouTube chat. Always lively at YouTube chat.
Always lively.
Dude, I could choke down six of those.
Sometimes
easily.
It gets a little overly religious, political, but you know, spicy. We try not to dive into that world too much. Spicy. We like to make fun of everybody, to be honest with you.
You're damn right we do.
A lot to get to. Buddy Martin covers the Florida Gators. We've been doing Final Four previews last couple days. We're just going to carry it over. So Florida today will save what may be the best for last in Duke going into their matchup against Houston. But Buddy Martin will join us for the Daily Ticker. Because we went a little long there, I'm going to kick over what I was going to lead with the second hour.
Totally fair.
And the Magic hat's mighty deep today.
It is a deep hat today.
There's a lot of magic in that old hat of Jason Swigard.
I'm picturing like a combination of the magician and Frosty the Snowman with Cal Norton Jr. Now you see me, now you don't. And I don't know how to connect those two images in my mind.
Oh, you know, when
you know, the magician hopping around with his hat. Give me my hat back!
I always do, when I think magician, think of the Frosty the Snowman magician.
He's a pretty famous magician.
Didn't want the hat. The hat was magical. Then he wanted the hat back.
Yeah, he had the old-fashioned top hat there.
He basically killed Frosty and was going to murder a child.
Well, he did. He murdered Frosty.
And then all Santa said was, go home and write 1,000 times, I'm sorry, and I'll give you your Christmas gift. It's like he almost murdered a child, Santa.
He did, yeah. I mean, Santa knew the Frosty was going to come back. He knew he'd be okay.
Well, he just needed Christmas snow.
He just needed a little bit of snow, a little bit of magic in the air.
All right, magician, what did you pull?
What's the buzz?
What's the play?
What's the buzz? This one was, I think this is actually really interesting. It maybe not be a topic we all follow and care deeply about, but when you stop and think about it for a moment, is it not fascinating that Buzz Williams was the coach of Texas A&M,
the mighty SEC.
The money's there.
Yeah, all that money.
The rabid fan base. Kevin Willard leaves Maryland, gets to the tournament, leaves Maryland, gets to a Sweet 16.
Goes to the Big East.
Goes to the Big East and says, I want to coach Villanova. And Buzz Williams says, I'm leaving Texas A&M to go to Maryland?
He is one of the more interesting coaches in all of college athletics. I feel like he has made...
What am I missing here?
Three consecutive, what I would consider, lateral moves. Yeah. Not upgrading his situation in the least.
I wonder if he was somehow maybe knew he was on his way out at Texas A&M.
I went and looked at this last night. I don't see anything that suggests he was about to get fired.
They've made the tournament three straight years. Yeah. They've won a tournament game back-to-back years.
They were good this year.
So, I mean, SEC, whatever, that stuff gets nauseating. But they've been to the second round of the tournament back-to-back years. When was the last time Texas A&M basketball did that?
They've been a little up and down.
I just don't know.
He went from Marquette, which is a decent job. I think that's a good job. Right? In the old Big East. Mm-hmm. And then he jumped to Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm. That one was weird.
That was when the ACC was kind of a lateral move.
I don't really.
Yeah.
And then he went from Virginia Tech after getting to the Sweet 16 and took the Texas A&M job. And again, maybe I'm wrong here. I don't follow college basketball as closely as you guys. What's Texas A&M's basketball history?
I'm looking it up right now, actually.
Doesn't seem like it's that good off the top of my head. I don't remember a lot of deep Texas A&M
runs.
I just
wonder if some of these high-profile basketball coaches.
I mean, they've largely been, it's kind of what I thought. So remember Mark Turgeon was there in the early 2000s, got to the tournament. Billy Gillespie got there a couple times. Billy Kennedy got there a couple times. It's kind of like an up-and-down program.
So you get there and win a game, and then you're done.
Then you go
get
a couple
there
years,
and win a game, it's done.
And
so
then you're back.
It's not the worst basketball program
but
on the planet.
But back-to-back second-round losses how, the year prior.
How much of a backseat do you have to take to football there?
Yeah.
I mean, all SEC schools do.
I would imagine every single one of them
Kentucky.
Does.
Not Kentucky.
Maybe.
Kentucky goes 6-6, and their coach will pop off and say, we're just as important as basketball.
Yeah.
And I don't know how, like, I know Kentucky's different. I do. I'm acknowledging this. But if Kentucky football had a 10-2 season, is he wrong?
But I wonder, like, the schools, though, Florida, the Bruce Pearl at Auburn, Tennessee with Rick Barnes, are those schools now not ignoring the basketball program in the way that maybe they had before, and maybe that isn't.
Like, I think the rise of that conference would indicate they've absolutely invested
in it. But I wonder, too, if, though, the still the mentality every day in the athletic facilities and the administrative offices, it's still football. And that, at some point, as a basketball coach that's getting your team two Sweet 16s, you go, I'm tired of always having to wait my turn and wait for the crumbs after football.
Yeah, the funny thing about this is, why did Willard say he was leaving Maryland?
Yeah, because there apparently wasn't any NIL with him. But
there was no financial backing. Is that
his AD left, though? Yeah. So he might not have the backing from the new AD, and he's like, I'm getting out of here before I get back.
So I just offhanded comment of a guy that's like, my guy left, so I'm going to leave, and Villanova's a really good job. Or was there truth in it? And if there was truth in it, why would you leave an SEC school?
Yeah, I don't get that. To me, it's a lateral move at best. I know we like to romanticize Maryland in our head because of our childhood and Juan Dixon and Wilcox and Steve
Gary
Blake,
Williams.
Who can forget those teams, right? And winning a national championship. That was the second time they had been to the Sweet 16 in the last like 24 years, man.
Well, but I'm asking sincerely.
That's nearly a quarter century. This is not a good program anymore.
How good is Buzz Williams anyway?
He's fine. Went to an Elite Eight with Marquette.
He's fine.
Went to a Sweet 16 with Virginia Tech, and he went to the second round twice with Texas A&M. He's not a terrible coach, but I don't view him as, oh my God, look out for Maryland in the ACC now.
Yeah, I just I
or
find
the Big Ten. I'm an idiot.
The coaching decisions just. I saw that, and I'm like, what? Why would you go from A&M to Maryland?
All of his moves to me reek of lateral moves, and that's why it's so funny. Marquette to Virginia Tech. Is Virginia Tech a better job than Marquette?
To Swag's point, the ACC, when he made that move, was the premier basketball conference.
Okay,
so
that's
fine. That would be the argument of why
Virginia
that's not
Tech
lateral.
To Texas A&M.
In the moment, you're kind of like, but it is the SEC.
Was that when all the
but they weren't investing in the SEC? I mean, they weren't this level of SEC at that point.
SEC
basketball was not thought of 6 years ago the way it is now.
I would say that was the start of all of this.
Very well could have been.
I think that's when all of it started going up.
But at the time when he left that job, I don't think any of us viewed like, Duke offered you. You got to go. It's not Michigan State. It's not one of North Carolina offered you. On any of those, I can't blame you for leaving, and I view it the same now. These are lateral moves for him.
But take the Final Four teams. Is there a better move for any of those four coaches than where they're currently at? We know Shire, no.
Shire, no.
Todd Golden, is there a better job in that sport than Florida? Is it Kentucky?
I would say Houston would be the one. I don't know what their situation is.
Dude, he owns that.
Kelvin Sampson's what, 69, 70 now?
I'm not saying he's going to leave.
He's not going anywhere.
I'm saying if North Carolina offered you the job, you would leave.
I don't know.
I mean, traditionally, I'd say yeah.
If you were younger, that conference isn't very good,
right?
But
and you get everything you want at that program,
yeah.
And then what would be the Auburn? I mean, Bruce Pearl. I mean, there's like three jobs better than those four, right? Or better than two of those four.
There's not a lot of better jobs out there.
There's not.
These are good programs.
Whenever Bill Self decides to go to the NBA,
Kansas job will be big. North Carolina, I know they extended him, but at what point does that become, hey, Duke's winning national championships and we're fading
in
the background.
They were terrible this year. Don't let them into the tournament change that.
Yeah, I mean, in the whole debate, should they even have been in? Izzo, whenever he's able to or willing to step away from Michigan State will be an interesting one.
Is that? I don't know how to feel about Michigan State.
I don't know how to feel about that.
I think that's a good program because of him. I don't know how sold I am.
Yeah, I think that'll either be somebody that's one of his assistants or...
They've been elite for a long time because of him.
There will be... That will be an Izzo tie that comes back.
What year did Izzo get there?
He's been there for like 20-something years.
Because what were they after Magic left? I don't remember hearing a lot about them.
No.
I mean, I wasn't
not
alive.
In the 80s.
So I don't know. I wasn't watching the NCAA tournament in 1983. I don't really have a frame of reference.
They
on
were
that.
Good.
What year did he get there? 90.
Tom Izzo took over in 1995.
Okay. So the mid 90s. So what were they after Magic until 1995?
So what they won, they must have won the title in 78, 79?
Yeah. Yes. 79.
I mean, they were a tournament team.
Okay.
A good chunk. Judd Heathcote was the coach.
Yeah. Judd Heathcote.
They went on a little bit of a drought right after Magic. Magic from basically 79 to 87, and then from 89 until Izzo took over. Sweet 16, second round, yeah, second round. I mean, they were a tournament team every
year. But like college football, Dirt, every program is susceptible for the fall off. North Carolina, when Dean Smith left, like, it was steadied, and then it ended up kind of cratering.
Yeah.
And that's one of the bluest of bloods. So yeah. I'm just saying, a Michigan State loses an Izzo, you definitely could go get a great coach and it just keeps humming.
I would just say that's a job.
But
if
you miss.
Of course. I mean, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy. I understand that argument. If I'm a coach looking for jobs, I want to know what's the buy-in of the university, mm-hmm. what's the buy-in of the fan base, and what's my financial backing. And I think you check all three of those boxes at Michigan State. See, it's a rabid fan base. Yeah. They sell out every game.
I think it's the university.
The university's
the
all
NIL.
In.
Chris Beard just did this. He parlayed the threat of A&M.
Yeah, with Ole Miss.
And Ole Miss gave more money, more commitment to NIL. And like he goes, okay, I'm not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Brilliant move by him because he had a great year. Let's go one more Magic Hat, and then we'll get to a non-Magic Hat.
This is a long Magic Hat today.
Well, see, that was a topic that I'm like, it kind of flew under the radar.
It did.
But then I started thinking and reading, and I'm like, dude,
the Chris Beard thing was funny, too, because he went behind back channels, told A&M he wanted the job, and A&M legitimately behind the scenes thought, oh,
we're going to get him.
And then he turned around and was like, just kidding.
Needed more.
Your last one, Trojan Man.
This is great. I never know what the magician's going to pull from his old trusty hat. All right? The way that Steve was always looking for Blue's Clues, Swag pulled this perfectly from his magic hat.
That's right.
And I want to carry this over. The Trojan Man. Let's talk about it and what topic it is next on The Fan. Buddy Martin covers the Florida Gators. They get ready for their Auburn rematch in the Final Four this weekend. So we'll talk with him at the Daily Ticker. Good stuff in the old magic hat there. Lightning rod conversation about college basketball coaches.
It was a good magic hat conversation, man. How many of those? This is an interesting question of the fan text line 503-864-6326. Mm. We treat you right before, during, and after the text.
Come on, man.
Jeez. It's a family show.
She's back, by the way.
She is back.
Not going to be prosecuted.
Not going to prison. Good for her. How many programs, legitimately are on, like UCLA?
Yeah, we would have said that's a no-brainer blue blood, but Mick Cronin, I think he got to a Final Four. And
he did.
That was one time.
Lost on a half-court shot to Gonzaga. Gonzaga!
This is kind of my point. If UCLA and North Carolina, if they can go through those lulls, I don't know how many jobs. Like Michigan State, I think it's totally fair to ask out loud, is that a great gig or is that a good gig?
Arizona.
Yeah.
I'm just scrolling
these
through
these are just schools.
Teams,
I mean, like, these are random schools at all. We would have said, no brainer, the best of the best get picked there.
Yeah.
And they've been good, but they haven't been great.
Yeah. I mean, Indiana's fallen into this category as well, where it's a fan base that has massive expectations, and anything short of winning a national championship will probably piss them off and disappoint them.
Well,
interesting scenario.
The last topic selected from the Magic Hat was actually perfect. I thought this was a standalone topic, but I put in the Magic Hat in hopes this would happen, and it did. I saw this yesterday. I don't follow this very often. This is more up your wheelhouse. USC flips Ducks Tumahini Topi.
Yeah.
The number 3 defensive tackle in 2026. I saw this headline. I went, oh, okay. So I clicked it. Just out of curiosity, in case you brought it up, because you dive in all kinds of dark recruiting webs.
Yes, I do.
And I'm reading about this. He's the number 3 defensive tackle, the number 72 overall prospect in the 2026 class. He was committed to Oregon for 5.5 months before mm-hmm. flipping his commitment. It's the 10th ESPN 300 pledge for USC during this cycle.
Yep.
That's more than any other program nationally.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 4th top 100 recruit in their impressive defensive class, according to ESPN. And it was interesting going through this article because it basically tees up that Lincoln Riley and USC are absolutely learning now from what they have failed to do early.
Only took them 4 years to figure it out.
And now there is there's a turf war happening between Dan Lanning and Lincoln Riley. USC now is in your kitchen. And they're saying, we're taking your guys.
Yeah.
We took this quarterback that you wanted. We got the number 2 dual threat quarterback.
Yeah.
And now USC and Oregon are finally, after years, in real legitimate recruiting
battles.
Nice
of you to show up, USC. It's been a while. We all thought this was going to be the case when Lincoln and Riley was hired. Everybody told me Oregon would never land another West Coast recruit when Lincoln Riley took that job. And so it's nice to have a, you know, at least somebody standing toe-to-toe. Before I say they're in my kitchen, I'd ask, can you win a road conference game? And then you can be in my kitchen? Let's see how that plays out first. No, this is interesting. I had Nimick on last week when you were out. And because, you know, I want to talk recruiting. And so they have found their sweet spot, I think, with they have a household name, a head coach, and they finally have figured out their NIL stuff behind the scenes. It's been a disaster for the first couple of years.
That does seem like what some of this is they finally have the collective
they
together.
They finally have the collective together. And so, look, tip of the cap to them. They're doing a hell of a job on the recruiting trail. They have the number one recruiting class for 2026 currently. Mm-hmm. Oregon was in that standing for a while. Oregon only has 8 commits right now for 2026. USC has 19. So mm-hmm. there's a massive difference there. 7 of them are 3-star recruits. So when you look at the average ranking of the player, Oregon's player caliber is higher than USC's.
Yeah.
They have a higher volume of overall players because they're just trying to fill some roster spots. And they're going to have to backfill some of the things that they need. I think the most interesting part of this will be, what does USC do this year? And how does it affect the recruiting class? Because there is an aspect of this of you have a ton of momentum, but as we just pointed out, a lot of these guys who have decommitted have been committed for a long time. Guess what happens? Decommitments happen all the time. That's why whenever you see a verbal commitment, you get excited. Jared Curtis is the number one quarterback in the country. He's going to announce on May 5th, I think it is, whether he's going to Oregon or Georgia. And even if he does, that's not going to be the end of it, man. Signing day's not until December. It's a long ways off. And so you got to go through the season. You're still going to do official visits. Like, all of this stuff, there's still a long runway there. What does USC have to do to keep this recruiting class together? And does it crater at all if they don't live up to expectations again on the field? Would be my biggest question, because they are clearly trending in the right direction. Mm-hmm. They have clearly figured it out behind the scenes. Better late than never, I guess. Took them 4 years to figure out you got to have NIL down, and maybe Lincoln Riley should take defense seriously. But if they go 7-5 again, and let's say Oregon goes 10-2, do they hold on to the entire class? Do they miss a guy or two? That, to me, is the biggest question I got going into this year.
Well, also, if you go 7-5, what's the patience of the university and fan
base? Just on the head coach in general.
You know, it's like, hey, last year you were not good, and this year you're not much better. Yeah. 7-5 is not, you know, I'd say at a minimum, you got to be 8-4 to maybe, and even then,
it's crazy even to say that in year four that 8-4 is like, that's your floor. You got to get to 8-4.
I'm well aware of that. So, like, saying it out loud makes you kind of even question that record and say, is the floor 9-3? I don't know. USC is interesting because I don't know how good they're going to be next year, but they're going to have another year with their defensive coordinator who they stole from UCLA. And when I'm reading this article, I'm thinking about those USC conversations that we had on our show. Obviously, Meringue being a USC fan, he, you know, pipes in a little cockier, but like, I thought that was a home run hire with Lincoln, and now you're like, here we go, Oregon, USC. And it's gone largely Oregon's way. There's no doubt about it. The seasons with the Boer and Lanning, when Washington played Oregon back-to-back years,
mm-hmm.
and 1 year they played them twice the year prior, even though those didn't go Oregon's way, you knew Oregon was a really damn good football team, and you watched two elite football teams play, and your takeaway is, God, this is great. It's unfortunate. It's a reminder, again, the conference gets completely railroaded and blown up, but what this reminds me of is we need the West Coast to have multiple powers.
We absolutely do.
You have to have multiple powers. You could want to be the big fish in that pond, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you need to be the big fish with another good-sized fish that's just barely smaller.
It makes it much more entertaining.
And so maybe that's what USC is establishing here, is getting back to what they were year one with him when they got to the Pac-12 title game with Caleb Williams. We'll see if they can do that. But you need Jed Fish. We'll see what he does at Washington.
Mm-hmm.
You need Lincoln Riley. I have no faith that UCLA is going to figure this out at all.
No.
But you need the West Coast more. You need more great teams, because having just one, I think it's what makes me not care about the Big Ten. It kind of kills the buzz of the Big Ten for me.
For sure.
As a football fan, because it's you and then the East Coast, and it's you,
yep.
and it's the Midwest.
It's Ohio State, it's yeah. Penn State, it's, yeah.
I need it to be Oregon, Washington, Oregon, yeah. USC. If this new world is going to exist, I need these other schools to step up and make this a fun West Coast version of that conference.
I would say for USC this year, there is zero argument of why they shouldn't be 4-0. They open with Missouri State, Georgia Southern, at Purdue, home against Michigan State. Like, in year four under Lincoln Riley, that has to be a 4-0
start. Is Clay Helton still at Georgia Southern?
I believe that he is. He's coming back to L.A. this year, which is an interesting scheduling factoid. But that if in year four of Lincoln Riley, if you can't start 4-0 in that schedule, then you got bigger fish to fry here. And then things get tough. Illinois is returning a lot of talent. They got to go on the road to Illinois. We'll see what Michigan is. If Underwood ends up winning that job as a freshman, they go on the road to Notre Dame, on the road to Nebraska, on the road to Oregon late in the season. You get Iowa at home, who's always a buzzsaw that's going to try and play in a 9-6 game. So after those first four, he has to start 4-0, and then you go, what, 4-4, whatever it would be the rest of the year, or 5-3 the rest of the year?
I think they need 5-3. I think a 9-3, as I say it out loud.
9-3 is a good year.
9-3 is a good year.
It's funny to think about that's the base level in year 4, because if Lanning goes 9-3 this year, the thought will be the sky is falling.
Yeah.
But if Lincoln Riley goes 9-3 this year in year 4, it's, hey, look at that, we're trending in the right direction. So I'm going to love those analogies as the season unfolds. But USC has clearly woken up. Now you got to go prove it. And that's the biggest thing in recruiting. There's a lot of programs that can spend money, and right now they might be outspending some to get recruits. Mm-hmm. Some of it might be the selling of the building back of the culture and the defensive staff. Maybe that's impacting their recruiting. But if you come out this year and you fall flat on your face, you lose early to Michigan State at home, Aiden Childs beats you, you fall to Illinois, Oregon smokes you at Autzen, you lose to Nebraska, you lose to Notre Dame, and you go 6-6, you're telling me the number one recruiting class in the country is going to hold on? I don't believe it.
Who are you more concerned about in the next 3 years? As a Duck fan.
USC or Washington?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's USC. It's USC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to a Florida Gator preview. The Final Four, they get ready to take on Auburn again. How healthy is Jahni Broome? How lucky were they to escape the Texas Tech game? Down 10 points with like 3 minutes to go. Went on a crazy 18-4 run to get themselves into the Final Four. We talk with Buddy Martin of the Daily Ticker coming up next on The Fan.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing. Independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to take a beach break at one of their four coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and their newest location on the south end of Lincoln City, Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Let's continue talking about the Final Four as it is on Saturday. We preview two of the teams. We still got Duke to go tomorrow. Today we go to Florida. The Gators are back in national relevance, and they're in the Final Four. Joining us now, Buddy Martin, been covering the Gators for a long time. Gator Bait Media down there in Florida. Buddy, good morning to you. Thanks for the time, man. It's been interesting to watch this program kind of evolve back into this point. When the coaching hire was made, was this what the thought that maybe the future could be in a couple of years? What was the thought when he was hired, and how much has he impressed here early on down in Gainesville?
Well, good morning to you out there in Oregon. I think the home of originally craft beers, I'm not sure. Anyway, you know, great state, and Eugene, and of course, Portland, et cetera. Traveled out there once when I was covering the Denver Nuggets a few times. It's good to be with you. No, nobody saw this coming. I mean, look, this is their sixth trip to the Final Four. It's been a long time between drinks of water. We know Billy Donovan's era and the back-to-back championships, 06, 07. And it was the glory days. And quite frankly, I think getting back to the tournament was a priority. But nobody except the people playing the game, and Todd Golder perhaps, had any idea this team was this good, which has been kind of one of the really fun things about it. Discovery of this team is so much fun to watch. This has been, I've been covering Gator sports for, I don't know, four or five decades. This has been one of the most fun stories to cover because you got go way above expectations. You got a good story of players who like the game, who want to play, who are not opting out, who are not looking for NIL deals. They're playing the game for the love of the game and their personal gain, is to be Pollyannish about it. But they also just love their teammates and love playing. It's a hard thing to beat when you like this. You got to play together as Todd's kind of playing right now. And what an amazing story, especially Walter Clayton.
Yeah, Walter Clayton was who I was going to ask you about because he's been the best closer, I think, in the tournament. Most people watch this kid play, and it's like, where did he come from? What's the story? And it's been great to kind of learn about Walter Clayton Jr. What is the relationship with Florida? What brought him to Florida and him having this stage where he's delivering time and time again?
He's from Florida, from Lake Wales originally. He was a heck of a football player. He had offers from big-time schools, including Alabama and different he was a heck of a football player, but he wanted to play basketball because he didn't like getting hit. Although in basketball today, you get hit quite a bit, as we found out. He comes to us from Rick Pitino. He transferred in on a transfer portal, tried to go and had him identified, and nobody had any idea this guy was this good. By the way, he is now celebrated as the best basketball player ever in Florida basketball history.
Wow.
The people who will watch, I saw the 06 and 017. I love them. Forgive me, Billy. Forgive me, Noah. Forgive me, guys. But this right, if they win right now, if they win, they go through this, and they got a shot, as you know, they'll be the best basketball team and with the best basketball player ever in the history of the school.
Interesting. Wow. That's a great take.
Buddy coming in with a heat, man,
because you mentioned the back-to-back titles until UConn did it last year. That record had stood. They were the last team to do that in college basketball. Buddy Martin is our guest covering the Gators for a long time, Gator Bait Media. Now, they're playing Auburn in the Final Four, which is a rematch. They won that game. I believe it was on the road for them. How do we feel about that win translating into this weekend? What do we make of the rematch against an SEC foe?
Well, first of all, let's not be naive. Any one of these four teams come in and say they're all number one seeds.
Yeah.
They're all good players. The team playing the best right now is Florida. If you saw the video, look up the YouTube on the Florida Auburn basketball game. They led that game by 21 points at one point. And Auburn won it by Auburn lost it by 9. They completely dominated that Auburn team. Now, are they different? Maybe. That much different. We'll see. Of course, Pearl knows Golden quite well. He's his mentor. He found him, and he coached with him for a few years, and he's Bruce Pearl protege. But I think the protege might be about to outstrip his mentor here. The way they played against Auburn, they completely whacked him. Now, do I expect that kind of game again? Not necessarily. But this team, keep in mind, I'm looking at the roster now. Tell me where you've got a roster where 10 players can play anytime in the game, by the way. Not just the spot substitutions. Someone asked me on the show the other day, what unsung player do you think could step out for Florida? I said, none, because they're all sung players. We all know about them. Every one of them, I can give you 4, 5, 6 guys that can make the difference in the game right now. But the guard play is exceptional, certainly. We know all about Walter Clayton Jr. and what he's done. Will Richard, a special as well. And then you throw in the other guys like Denzel Aberdeen, who's off the bench. He's an incredible player. Elijah Martin. All these guys are special. But the guy that seems to be getting all the run right now after he's played so well is Tommy Howell. He is amazing what he did coming off the bench, knocking down those threes as he did. He and Walter Clayton personally saw to it that they overtook the Texas Tech in that 10-point spurt and beat them. So I would say that it's just an amazing depth. And think about this, guys. The way they win the game is they use that bench. They play all those guys almost, at least 8 or 9 of them. And by the time you get to the last 4 minutes, you're worn out. I mean, you can't keep up with these guys. These big guys, they run. Watch them run the court. I mean, they can run the court like they're guards. So I know I'm sounding like I'm blowing smoke. I'm just telling you, this is an exceptional bunch of athletes and a terrific unit. And credit goes to Todd Golden.
Well, I'm curious, buddy, because it sounds like based on what you're talking about with the last time they played Auburn and they kind of controlled things and how much depth they have compared to maybe some of these other teams that are left here in the Final Four, You clearly like Florida, so how do you envision the game going, and how much of what Texas Tech did to Florida? Because prior to that 18-4 run, I think everybody in America thought that run was going to be over for the Florida Gators with Texas Tech winning, and then they had that big spurt at the end there where they came back and won. How much of what Tech did to Florida would worry you about what Auburn potentially could do?
Well, Auburn can do a lot. They got great players, obviously, and Florida hit, I think, 10 threes against them. If Florida's shooting and Clayton's shooting the basketball, there's not much they can do, although they got their own guys can play. I think it's a matter of rebounding. It's going to be Florida. Florida can out-rebound you. They did get on the glass offensively really well. I think it's a different, completely different kind of game when you play Auburn. You got to limit their big guys somewhat. That's better, easier said than done. I think it'll be a play out if Florida's shooting the basketball and they don't turn it over, which they've done a couple of times in the first half. Their whole book is get down by 2 points at half or up by 2 points at half and blow them out the last 4 minutes. I think that's what they'd like to do here. But, you know, in this Final Four Saturday, the adrenaline runs pretty hard. That guys can play longer. But I was told by an old NBA coach once before, tire them out and foul them out. He said, when your legs get tired, shooters can't shoot the basketball. I didn't know what happened to Texas Tech, but they missed the front end at one-on-ones, which really killed them. Florida made their foul shots. I see it playing out kind of like it's played out the last couple of weeks, but I think Florida won the game by, 6 points or so.
We've really enjoyed the conversation, buddy. Last one for you, and sorry for the curveball, but we've had a topic on the show I'm curious to get your thoughts on because you've been around the industry a long time and you seem like an esteemed gentleman, and I want to ask you this. What is Buddy Martin's dream hot dog?
I'm not a hot dog guy, but I do like the traditional ballpark Franks.
Yeah.
I think probably the Dodger dogs are as good as I've ever eaten.
Same.
I used to go there. You travel to L.A. with the Nuggets basketball team. We go to the Dodger game, we'd eat about 8 hot dogs apiece. And those probably as good as you want to get. Ballpark Franks too. I like the mustard, relish, pickle, onion.
Good man.
No mayos, no ketchup. Yeah, that's me.
Good choice there, buddy.
We knew you would be real quick.
Sorry, you've brought this up twice now. What years did you cover the Denver Nuggets, and what was your most fond memory when you visited Portland with the Nuggets?
Well, it's always the experience going on the road with Doug Moe, the coach. And it was always a pleasure to be with him because in an era today where you can't even talk to those coaches, going to be in a press conference, when you can go spend 4 to 6 hours in a hotel coffee shop with Doug Moe and Topper Travellini and those guys and talk ball all day long, that is no way you can go back. But I think probably I just remember Portland being a pleasant place, a place that obviously we know who the king was there. And it was always a pleasant experience to go there. But I loved covering the NBA back then, and not so much now. Yeah. I'm not so much of a fan of it. It's just changed. The game has changed. But it has been wonderful, and mostly because in my relationships with other people, that's what it's been for almost 5 decades to me, relationships with people. I've enjoyed sports so much because of that.
Yeah, great stuff. Covering the NBA, covering college basketball. He loves a good hot dog. He's got good taste on what goes on the hot dog. Buddy Martin, the Buddy Martin Show, covering the Gators, GatorBaitMedia.com, at Buddy's Show, or Buddy Show on Twitter. Go give him a follow. Buddy, thanks for the time, man. Enjoy the Final Four, and
right,
hopefully we can catch up again soon.
Oh, so too. Thank you, guys.
There you go. Buddy Martin from Florida.
I don't eat the wiener.
Not a big hot dog guy. Dodger dog is a hell of a
dog.
Swag's never had a Dodger dog. He claims to be a Dodger fan. He's never been to Dodger Stadium.
Swag's never had a Dodger dog?
He's never eaten a Dodger dog. He's never been
to Chavez Ravine?
Never been to Dodger Stadium.
That's weird.
Fake fan.
I have.
Fake fan. I've eaten a Dodger dog.
I've had 2 Dodger dogs
before. I've been to a Dodger game before.
I don't want to be a jinx.
You're insufferable.
Yeah, you are.
I hate you. I hate everything about you.
80s, 90s, by the way.
Doug Moe.
Yeah.
Doug Moe.
Is that
80s,
the
90s,
Michael
yeah.
Adams when
so
they
he's
were
in the Kerry Eggers,
Vandeway?
He's in the Kerry Eggers kind of ballpark.
Yep.
In terms of age and like where he was when he was covering stuff.
But he had good pipes. That was fun.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
That was great.
I loved that. He said they've easily been the best team in the tournament.
Let's go, baby. Pelican Brewing Company presents today's Daily Ticker. Pelican invites you to make a beach break at one of their 4 coastal locations, Cannon Beach, Tillamook, Pacific City, and the newest one in Lincoln City. Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach. Nice couple of days to go out. Tomorrow, Saturday, supposed to be really nice weather. Good days to be out at the coast. Let's do a little. We're going to be a short segment.
Is it supposed to be nice Saturday? Because we keep checking the weather, and I thought it changed.
It's like 68.
Saturday's supposed to be nice. Sunday now, the rain's creeping Sunday.
Sunday's raining, but Saturday's...
Saturday's
like
still good.
68 degrees and a little overcast.
Are you looking at Pacific or Canon?
I'm looking at Portland currently because I'm playing golf on Saturday.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the coast because it's Pelican.
Pacific City will be 61 and sunny tomorrow and 60 and a little overcast on Saturday.
I can deal with that.
Those are perfect.
That's perfect.
Today's 51 and sunny. Mm. That's good beach weather right there. Now we're living good. Let's do a little peekaboo of the Final Four, which is on Saturday. And then we'll get to some other stuff in the final hour of the show. We're back after this on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. We have a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. An NFL trade that made me say, what are you doing? What are we doing here? What's going on?
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the team is doing in general, and this is one that I've seen people in Dallas be like, you know, not a bad move. Like, oh, all right, we'll talk about that in the final hour. I got some other things in my notes, including an audition for American Idol. I bet you never thought you'd hear an audition for American Idol on our radio show.
I didn't know that show was still going on, and I haven't watched that show since the first
season. It's gone full circle. Carrie Underwood is now a judge.
She didn't win the first one, though, right? She wasn't like year
three.
No,
that was Kelly Clarkson.
That was Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
But
I think she's the biggest.
Clay Aiken? Wasn't Clay Aiken
yeah,
in year one?
I think she's, though, the biggest star, like the most accomplished
for sure.
star to come out of
Clay
that show.
Clay wasn't season one.
He wasn't season one? Was that Ruben Studdard? Didn't Ruben
no,
Studdard
it was
win
Justin, Justin. It was Justin.
Justin and Kelly.
And Kelly.
And yeah. Kelly, okay.
Yeah.
And then Kelly I think Clarkson's had a nice, I mean, she has a daytime talk show. Do you guys know that?
Yeah.
She's hawking Wayfair stuff all over the place.
Boy, you know whose talk show I really don't like? I'm going to be kind of mean here.
Uh-oh.
Who? Taking shots.
Drew Barrymore makes me very uncomfortable watching her television show.
Really? Because she gets really close to people?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the way she interviews. She literally...
She's in your bubble.
She is swag. This is what it looks like when you watch her radio.
She flashed David Letterman on his desk on his birthday.
Oh, hi.
Tell me how you feel.
I'm a little uncomfortable.
Why don't you tell me
I'm
how
a little,
you feel?
I'm really uncomfortable right now.
It is.
That elbow massage felt good, though.
Who,
thank you.
Why do we interview like that? She gets right next to him, and she grabs her hand. She's like... Just tell me about your soul. How deep is your soul?
Tell me about your feelings. What kind of energy drink are you drinking over there?
Yeah, it's actually called Pink Slush. Have you not seen her highlights?
I have seen the highlights. They're very uncomfortable.
She had her ex-boyfriend on, Justin Long, who's an actor. He does a lot of like really kind of he did Jeepers Creepers. He does these random movies. Anyway, they dated, and he's on the couch. And he's like married. He's with somebody else. They broke up years ago. And she just grabs his arm and I loved you so much. And I think we both were wrong. And he's just like, and I cared about you too. And she's like, but we just, it just didn't work for us. And
that's
just
Hollywood.
Like,
imagine the wife being in the back in the green room like, what the hell's going on right now?
I just, every time I see her interviewing, I'm very uncomfortable. I'm like, you're
I'm
way
you
too close. There's bubble space.
I'm with you on that.
You've gone, the bubble has popped.
Stay out of my personal space.
I mean, I smell, if I'm smelling your breath, we're too close.
Way too close.
And she positions herself as if, like, she doesn't care about the camera at all, and she's just staring into their, tell me about the time your mom beat you. And she's like, why?
Whoa, that took a dark turn
why,
in a hurry,
why
Drew.
Why did you go there,
Calm
Drew?
Calm down, Drew.
Damn it.
People also pointing out they love Buddy's. I don't like hot dogs, but when I went to a Dodger game, I had 8 of them.
Dogs.
Dude, I could choke down 6 of those easily.
That was a quick turn of like, yeah, I don't really like hot dogs, but if I do, I eat 8, you know. It's like 0 or 8 kind of thing.
I mean, same. 4th of July, me, I'll probably
He's like
have
an alcoholic for hot dogs. He doesn't drink that often, but when he does, boy, you can't stop Buddy.
Are we excited for the Final Four?
Yes.
You're excited to watch Houston?
It will be
I'm playing golf on Saturday, so
it's going to be an effort at the Hops because the Hops have a 4:05 first pitch on Saturday.
Will all teams score more than 15 points in the first half?
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure about that?
Will it be a lot more? I don't know. I could see.
Will they all top 20 in the
first
half?
They'll all get over 20. They will all score.
Mark it down.
At least a point a minute.
7:57, April 3rd.
Right. You can't put your phone with the games on in the booth.
I kind of want the experience.
You can't call Rodriguez.
I could.
He's on a DVR it and watch it later when you get back.
I think I'll DVR it and then just, yeah, come home and, you know, have a late night.
Which game are you most excited for?
Florida Auburn. Because I think there's a formula for both teams to win.
How about Buddy had two pretty big takes there.
He's pretty high on the Gators, which Florida, I can't blame him. They're a good team. But he's,
Florida's,
you know,
been the best. I don't know about that, man. They were the only team. Last game.
Yeah, they almost lost in the Elite Eight.
And
if Texas Tech makes free throws, they lose that game probably.
Walter Clayton's the best player.
That was a take.
And this is the best team?
That's a hot
take.
Would
you pick this team to beat either one of those championship Gator teams?
I don't know if I would.
The second
Horford,
year Florida
Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer.
What was the point guard's name?
Oh, God.
He's the one that's left out.
He's that guy.
He's Tito.
Who's that guy?
Was it Green?
Green. Torian Green. Corey Brewer. Joakim Noah.
They were all around
Horford
for basically both years,
they
right?
Came
they
back, yeah.
Anybody.
Came back.
They all came back for another year.
Joakim just talked about this on a pod. He basically was, and obviously it's a different era, right? So NIL doesn't exist. And he's like, we didn't do it for the money. We just did it because we really had fun playing together and we wanted to be repeat champions.
Yeah, the 06-07 Florida Gators, man, they were 35-5, 13-3 in SEC play.
Dude, I think it's the second year because
they had Maurice
Space
on that team.
Oh, man.
No, that was recruiting class. Sorry. Oh. Yeah, Corey Brewer, Torian Green, Al Horford, Joakim Noah. No, Maurice Space was. He was a freshman on that team, yeah, too. I mean, that was a loaded roster.
Mo Spates,
man.
Mo Buckets.
Yeah. Always there when you need him.
I think that second national title team, just because of the experience of being able to do it again. I mean, look, Buddy has every right to like this Florida Gator team.
He's a Buddy.
Exactly.
I'm not going to question him.
But that team's beating this team.
I would tend to agree with you there. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, online at crunch.com. Swag guarantees us everybody will score 20 points in a half. In the Final Four, for the love of God, please be right. Lots to get to in the final hour. We have an audition to play for you. Can this become the new karaoke song? Because I would not be opposed to that. A trade went down in the NFL. I got some other tidbits to get to as well. Loaded Final Hour next on The Fan.